This is Abbotsford Canucks Hockey on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Back to Sorta. Makes a move. Sorta for the chance. It's wrist shot blocked. Looks like Mueller got in the way. Now Kirsten, the defenseman's in deep. One hands it behind the net for Puljujärvi. Looking in front, they score! It goes off a Canuck body and in. It'll be Puljujärvi's goal. And this series will continue as the Checkers win it 4-3 in overtime.
And just like you said, Brandon, so many times in overtime, it's just a garbage goal. As Puljujärvi picks up the puck behind the net, he goes to make a quick pass out front to his line mate, and it ends up just pinballing off two Abbey Canuck players. The first, it hits Mueller, then over to Brisebois, both off their skates, and it passed Seelovs on the far side. Final 4-3 Charlotte as they force game six. Calder Cup still up for grabs.
Vancouver Canucks had a tough year. The Abbey Canucks still have a chance to be able to take the Calder Trophy, however, lose tonight at the Abbey Center. A thrilling overtime victory by the Charlotte Checkers. A 4-3 victory and a lucky bounce goes in the favor of the Charlotte Checkers. Now we force a game six coming up on Monday from Charlotte. Puck drop coming up at 4. It's Satyar Shah with Dan Riccio. And as always, get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We are going to be joined by Brandon Astle and Landon Ferraro for the post-game roundtable coming up in a few moments here. But keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. And Reach, I mean, that's a tough one to take for the Abbey Canucks. The building was anticipating an overtime winner, and man, were the Abbey Canucks all over the Checkers in overtime. I counted, Reach, six grade A chances for the Abbey Canucks in and around the net, just in cold, a number of great opportunities. Give Kokkonen some credit. He made some good saves. They got some good fortune. Yeah. Max Sasson's shot goes off the post. I mean, the Abbey Canucks were inches away from winning the championship, and then a lucky bounce goes the other way to force a game six.
Literal inches. It was for a long stretch. I don't think Charlotte had really any zone time in Abbotsford's end of significance, and then the one opportunity they get, Jesse Puljujärvi banks it in off a couple of Abbotsford Canucks and behind Artur Shilov's. Just tremendously unlucky in the moment, but that's kind of what happens, you know. You're not always going to have the luck. You're not always going to have the bounces. You got to find a way to pick yourself back up and find a way to win one of the next two.
And listen, I'm not trying to make this about officiating because the Abbey Canucks had a number of chances, right? But this may have been one of the most comically officiated hockey games I have ever seen. An absolute joke of an officiating performance in this game here tonight. I mean, they were calling some nonsense earlier in the game, and then they completely put their whistles away to the point that it was a detriment to the game. I thought it was a detriment to how the game was being played, especially in the third and in overtime. And again, the Abbey Canucks had their chances. Max Sasson's shot goes off the post, and both teams can turn and talk about how bad the officiating was. There were a couple of infractions the Abbey Canucks made on as well on the opposition that went uncalled. So it wasn't just one-sided. But, man, I get you want to put your whistles away, but these are some egregious things that they're letting the players get away with. And to me, that's just not acceptable. And even on the shot that ends up going off the glass, I mean, I know they don't review those sort of things, but it just seemed like these officials were so afraid of making any sort of a call. And even there was a puck that on an offside play where it looked like Linus Karlsson held it in, but the officials called it offside right away. It was like they were they were so afraid of making a mistake in this game, Reach, that they weren't officiating this game properly, at least the way I saw it. And, I mean, I see it from the reaction. And, again, this is not why the Abbey Canucks lost, but it is a note in this game because I thought it was really atrociously officiated.
The Abbotsford Canucks did not get a power play after the first period of play.
Now, they had a 5-on-3, and they scored on it.
They had that 5-on-3. They scored on the 5-on-3. That was the Linus Karlsson goal that got the game tied up at one apiece. Then there was coincidental minors early in the second. Abbotsford scored twice during the 4-on-4. And then before Ty Mueller takes a penalty midway through the third, through the second, I think there was three pretty obvious calls that in a regular season game you make without any hesitation. There's a couple of trips, some blatant interference penalties that you could have called on Charlotte, and none of it gets called. Ref, you suck, ringing through the building, as you would expect. And then Ty Mueller gets the interference penalty for a net front battle. And
it was pretty ticky-tacky, honestly.
It's interference, but given what you're, what else you're letting go, you're going to call like a net front battle in a final game, like a game five of a final, of a cup final. That's just madness. And, you know, Charlotte scores on that, and that ties the game, and it takes us all the way through to overtime where there were no penalties called for the rest of the way.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty egregious, some of the things that they let go.
Well, it's very, really obvious, right? Abbey had the one goal lead. They weren't going to call a penalty on Charlotte to give Abbey another chance to go up in this game. And this, but the, when there was an infraction going the other way, they called it on the Abbey Canucks. Once Asplund scored, the game got even at three. They put the whistles away again, right?
Completely,
it just shows you how poorly the game was officiated, that you let the game state really impact how you're officiating the game. And to me, that's just very poor officiating. But nonetheless,
it's game management,
listen, it's the AHL. You're going to get these sort of things too, right? Like, I totally understand. But it's frustrating for the Abbey Canucks tonight, because I thought there were parts of this game that looked a bit nervous at certain aspects, especially in the third when the game was tied at three. Nobody wanted to make a mistake. And they did a good job of keeping things to the outside and getting the puck out. But, you know, they had plenty of opportunities in overtime to put this game away. Like, it, you know, the game was on their stick a number of times tonight.
Yeah, Sasson, he had the best chance because he beat Kakinen clean, but obviously didn't get it past or within the posts. So there's that. Kara had a great chance right out in front. There was multiple opportunities for them to end this game. Really from, almost about the midway point of overtime, it was all Abbotsford. Like, we're talking one-way traffic that Abbotsford is just an onslaught. And if there's one team that's going to score, it's going to be Abbotsford. You didn't see anything from the Charlotte Checkers. They are the epitome of a team like, you know, like a boxer, like Saved by the Bell. That's what it felt like. They were just like, we need to get to the end of the period, and then we can reset, maybe get it into the second overtime, because it was all Abbotsford. So, you know, unfortunate, because they really had their forecheck going. They were just winning all kinds of battles all over the ice, keeping Charlotte hemmed in, and they just couldn't find a way to break through and get the winner.
I mean, let's go through some of these chances. Nate Schmidt, he drove the net. Nate Smith drove the net.
Nate Schmidt, Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah, Nate Smith, however, he drove the net and almost scored two. Kakinen made a save. The PDG shot from a sharp angle almost fooled Kakinen and went in. Carlson had a backhand opportunity. Kyra had another backhand opportunity as well. Sasson shot off the post, of course. And even Danilo Klimovic, a shot from a sharp angle gave Kakinen some trouble. I mean,
similar to the game one winner.
Yeah,
like he looked for it a couple times. It was clear, like, he, I guess they felt that they could surprise Kakinen on some of those kinds of shots, but Klimovic went to it a couple of times.
Yeah, and, you know, it seemed like Kakinen had some trouble with it. It wasn't like he handled it cleanly, and it kind of bounced around before he could freeze it up. So a lot of opportunities on the Canucks stick here tonight, but unfortunately weren't able to get this one home. And, again, game six comes up on Monday, 4 p.m., from Charlotte. We'll see if the Canucks can take care of business. But if we go through some player standouts in this game, I mean, you know, I know you were making this point during the game. The Baines-Carlson duo, dominant yet again, especially with Max Sasson in the middle.
I mean, you just look at the stat sheet for these guys. They carry this team offensively. And, it doesn't matter what level you are. You need your star players to go out there and do the job for you.
Yeah.
And they did the job. You know, they've done what they can do to help this team win games. Carlson scores twice. Baines also gets a goal here tonight. And, you know, Baines even had five shots on net. Carlson credited with eight shots on net in this game. Who were the most dangerous players for the Abbotsford Canucks? It's those guys and only those guys. I shouldn't say only those guys. In overtime, some offensive opportunities came to some others.
Yeah.
But through the first three periods, like, if Abbotsford was going to score, it was going to be from their top line. They didn't get much push from the rest of their lineup until overtime.
No, and the best chance in overtime was Max Sasson's shot off the post. I mean, again, we mentioned how Klimovic, Nate Smith, they had a couple of opportunities too, and they did a good, you know, they created some trouble for Kakinen, but
Sasson's speed just creates so much opportunity for him in that line pretty much every game.
It felt, you know, it almost felt like, you know, I turned to you and said, Sasson's going to score the OT winner. And then, like, you know, a shift later, he had the shot off the post, because he seemed like he was determined in overtime. He was skating hard, winning battles. And the thing I've been impressed by with Max Sasson, too, Reach, is his physicality, his ability to get through guys, right? Yeah. Like he fights through contact really well. He gets in players' faces. You know, it's a lot different doing that at the NHL level, of course, but I've been really impressed with the physicality that Sasson has brought in addition to that speed.
It's really impressive. Like, his speed just puts defenders on their heels, and then it kind of opens up. You know, especially when he's driving with the puck, it you know, the defenders lose their gap, right? And then there's that little bit of space at the top of the circles that if an Abbotsford Canucks player is trailing, you can hit that trailer and create some opportunities that way. And Baines, I think one of Baines's like one of the things we've really seen him do well, that middle drive play. You know, we always used to hear Rick Tocchet mention it.
Yeah,
want to have a middle drive guy. Who's going to be the middle drive guy? But Baines. He's really, you know, he's crushed in that.
And yeah.
We saw in the first period he collected a puck as he's doing going through the middle drive. He gets a puck and he does a spinorama move, creates an incredible chance for himself. I mean, there's just a lot to like about everything that those players are bringing. They're playing with so much confidence.
Yeah.
And the only way, like, Charlotte was able to slow those guys down at all was really to take penalties that weren't called.
Yeah, I mean, they were holding it. Carlson, like, got knocked over a couple of different times. You saw him turn to the officials a few times in exasperation, kind of wondering, like, you know, what's going on here? But I really like the way Carlson, and we saw it even at the NHL level. It's not like we're looking at it just at the AHL and saying, you know, he uses his frame really well. He does a really good job of, again, fighting through contact. That's something I'm going to repeat a lot here, but that's kind of what this line does really well, and that's what you have to do. But that frame of his ability to box guys out, his ability to be able to get on the right side, especially along the boards. He's really worked on his technique, and you see how effective he is because he finds a way to get space and get that shot off pretty much in any tight angle he can.
It's really impressive. I mean, I don't know what's happened from – like, I even liked what I saw out of Carlson when he was – you know, called in to play against the Edmonton Oilers last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, he got the game puck in his
first game. You know, and it took him a while to get any sort of production on the board this season in the looks that he had. But he looks like a different player right now. He looks like somebody playing with so much confidence, understands that he is one of the better players at this level, in this league, and certainly in this series, and he's playing like it. Both he and Baines are playing with a ton of confidence, and it's really showing through on every shift they do.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, we know that Carlson has a good chance of making the team next year for the Vancouver Canucks, and considering his waiver situation, it makes it a bit trickier to navigate, you know, especially if you like the player. You want to put him in a position where you expose him to waivers if you feel like, you know, he's going to be a part of the team. So has an inside track, but you have to bring it, obviously, in training camp. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. A lot of reaction on the text inbox. Kickstand says, the Riccio jinx strikes again. Calls at Puljujarvi in the post-game show last game and goes on to score the OT winner. Just stop talking, dude. Well, I mean, and
Kickstand, if you only knew what we were saying during
you only
the
knew
game.
The back. So during the game, I mean, Reach was just giving it to Puljujarvi. And I turned to him, you know he's going to score the OT winner. And, I mean, it was the dumbest way ever to score an OT winner because it went off two Canucks. He had the puck behind the net.
Yeah.
I mean, he had nothing to do with the play outside of touching the puck and kind of throw it out front. Goes off two Canucks and pinballs behind Artur Shelob's. But, yeah, I mean, Jesse Puljujarvi, it's quite the fall from a player who was a high draft pick back in 2016. But that's just the way it goes sometimes, right? I mean, that's 9 years ago.
Fourth line now. I mean, at least he's listed on the fourth line here for this Checkers team.
He got an assist tonight, too. He got a goal and an assist. And the assist happened because Victor Mancini blew a tire and fell over.
Yeah.
And he just passed the puck over to Steves, I think it was. Chorsky. And then ends up scoring the goal. And the OT winner was bouncing off two Canucks.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he really did much to influence the play on either one of those plays, but he ends up getting a point and an assist, and Dan Riccio was just criticizing Puljujarvi and talking about how bad he was this entire game off air to us. So I mean,
it's not
Reach
necessarily incorrect. You know, even in overtime, I think it was in the lead-up to the Kara chance, the Jujar chance, where he's kind of blowing the zone and the puck's behind him, and then he – by the time he realizes that the puck is behind him, he kind of turns around, panics, falls over, and it creates a great chance for the Abbotsford Canucks. I mean, I get it. You know, Dan Ginxio is on a hot streak right now. Anything I say, the opposite seems to happen these days. So the kickstand, you're not entirely wrong, but I stand by it. Jesse Puljujärvi, I expected more out of him coming into this series. I haven't seen too much all that great. Yeah, you know, KHL might be calling his name.
I don't disagree, but, you know, just maybe keep it to yourself. And I don't even believe in jinxes. But how?
you're having to think twice about your whole idea of superstition.
Yeah, Riccio's testing my faith. I'll tell you that much, man. Brandon Nepoko, Nate Schmidt was playing for Abbotsford. So what line was Barkov playing on? Yeah, no, Nate Schmidt. Nate Smith had a good chance, but not Nate Schmidt, of course.
Josh and Mission feeling like I'm sure a lot of Canucks fans are right now. This is what us fans get for having hope. The hockey gods must be pointing and laughing hysterically. J-Dog says, so Canucks. Yeah, it was very Canucky the way that it ended, especially with just how much, you know, the Abbotsford Canucks were on the gas, pedal to the metal. They smelt blood. They felt like they had the winner on the tip of their fingers, and then just completely against the run of play, a couple of ugly bounces end up in the back of their net.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal in that sense, not getting some of those the luck going your way. But, you know, give Charlotte credit in regulation. It wasn't like Charlotte was well behind the play. I mean, they were out shooting the Abbey Canucks as well. They had to come from behind. And to give them credit, I mean, they took the lead. Abbey came back. They took the lead. They were able to fight back. You have to give the opposition some credit as well for not fully falling apart. And it seemed like they were really teetering in overtime, but found a way to get a bounce. But I did think the Charlotte Checkers showed some good poise in this hockey game, considering it could have been really easy after going down a couple times to just give up in this hockey game.
It could have been. You know, Charlotte, they showed a little bit of poise to get back in this one at 3-3. And the way Abbotsford responded, look, that 5-on-3 really helped them early on.
It did. It got them going.
You could tell the youth was showing a little bit, the nervousness showing a little bit early in the game. Charlotte goes up 1-0, but then getting that power play and then scoring on the 5-on-3, it really settled the group down, I thought, in a big, big way. And to see them come back a couple of times and then take that lead, they were – the way that they pushed Charlotte on that 4-on-4, they scored twice on that 4-on-4. But, like, Charlotte didn't know what to do with themselves.
They
had no answer for the speed that the Abbotsford players were showing.
They had no speed. But then in the third, if there was a team that was going to score in the final 10 minutes, it felt like it was going to be Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like they were really pouring it on when the game was tied towards the end of the third period. There was some, you know, it was kind of like a heavyweight tilt back and forth a little bit. Then in overtime, it was pretty much just all Abbey, right, until the Checkers got the lucky bounce in the game-winning goal.
The end of the third kind of felt like you know, Abbotsford was playing, I wouldn't say playing for the overtime, but they were just scared to make a mistake, scared to open up, scared to allow anything too big to come through. And so it was just like, chip, make the safe play, don't get caught, don't make a mistake. And, you know, that's kind of how the final bunch of minutes played out. They needed Archer Shilovs to make a couple of big saves there towards the end of the third as well.
Yeah, and, you know, give RD credit. He made a couple of saves. There were some bounces going the way of the Charlotte Checkers in this hockey game here tonight. A lot of reaction on the Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. This one says, the perfect Canucky ending will only be complete when the series ends after Game 7 in a loss. Matt Holtra is hired by Dallas, announced by Gallardi, and Shilovs is a waiver claim by Florida. Andrew in White Rock is feeling very pessimistic. It doesn't take much for Canucks fans to go into the pessimism mode here. But they have two chances. They won a game already in Charlotte. This series is far from over, of course. They still have a 3-2 series lead. And, of course, we would have loved to see them win on home ice.
Oh, man.
But, you know, you still have a chance here to take the championship.
The building was ready
to
get excited when Sasson hit the post. It was something to see. It was going to blow up if they were able to find that overtime winner. This from Colin in the Caribou. Can the station give Dan the next week off? Asking for a fan base. that, you know, Colin, I get where you're going with this. Dan Ginxio has definitely had a tough run here, but I don't know if Cam will be giving me the next week off just to try and help Abby get this over the finish line.
Yeah, I don't think so either. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Let's take a phone call here before we hit the break. Let's go to Chilliwack, where we're joined by Colin. Colin, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts after a tough 4-3 overtime loss in Game 5 against Charlotte?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I was at the game tonight. It was honestly amazing. I was ready to jump out of my seat and go into crazy mode because I'm a Canucks fan and we don't win anything. So it would have been really nice to see that tonight. One thing I want to say is I know it's a tough job, but the whole game management thing with the reffing, I'm tired of it. Like, regular season is fine, but in a big game like this, like, just call the game how it needs to be called. Like, I don't want to see that anymore. I've had enough of it. And I know the reffing's tough, but the ref did not do a good job tonight. He ruined my fun. So, I'm just really annoyed about it and frustrated. And, in a game like that, just call the game how it needs to be called. But that was amazing. It's awesome to be from Chilliwack and be able to drive 20 minutes down the road and see a potential winning game like that. So, that was awesome. And thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, love it. Great. Thanks for the phone call, Colin. Appreciate it. I get it, man. Tatiana, reffing was absolutely brutal. Campbell must have made a call. Others texting in about how poor the officiating was in this hockey game. I totally get it. But the Abbey Canucks lose 4-3. We have more to break down in this hockey game. It's Satyar Shah, Dan Riccio. We are going to be joined by Landon Ferraro and Brandon Assel. That is next in the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
This is Abbotsford Canucks Hockey. On the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Play with his head up, looking to make a play. Feeds it cross ice. Nate Smith has it left corner. Kara's in front. Smith to Kara. All alone. Glove save. Kokkinen. No way. Kara wide open. Nearly won it, but Kokkinen saves the season by flashing the leather.
The play moves to the left corner. Smith picks it up, realizes that Kara is all alone in front. He feeds it to him. Kara's got his back to Kokkinen, chooses to spin to his backhand, but can't elevate it to over the glove as Kokkinen lunges out to close the angle down. What a chance, but a great save by Kokkinen. Face-off blocker side.
Came close, not close enough. Abbey Canucks lose 4-3 in overtime. And we go to Game 6 in Charlotte. That is coming up on Monday. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show on Sportsnet 650. It's Satyar Shah with Dan Riccio. And as always, get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. Or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We are going to be joined by Brandon Assel and Lana Ferraro for a little bit of a chat coming up here soon. But before we do that, let's take a phone call. Let's go to Abbotsford, where we're at the Abbey Center broadcasting now postgame. And we are joined by Matt in Abbotsford. Matt, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here after a rough 4-3 overtime loss against the Checkers?
Boys, thanks for the call here. I really appreciate it. Love talking to you guys. Just want to say first things first, the guy who says that we're losing in seven, moron. He clearly hasn't been watching games. Abby, we're a wagon. We're taking this in six in Charlotte. Boys have been playing hard. It was, what an atmosphere in there. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And we got this, boys. We got this. Like, there's no question about it. We got it. It was a tough goal that got scored against us in the final and overtime there. But we're going to take them in Charlotte. We're going to absolutely lay the boots to these boys.
I love it. Hey, Matt, thanks for the phone call. Some positivity. Need some of that positivity, especially when you still have a 3-2 series lead. And the crowd here, again, what can you say, Reach? I mean, they were anticipating the winner in overtime. They're on the edge of their seats. I mean, the towel power was in full force. Great vibe and atmosphere throughout the game. The rink seats, you know, just over 7,000, right, with standing room, 7 and change. But, man, is it loud in here.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the vibe is absolutely incredible.
It was unbelievable tonight. Again, you know, like, whether it was a goal scored in overtime with the way that Abbotsford was just really putting Charlotte on their heels, you kind of felt an anticipation in the crowd. Every time Tristan Nielsen's going in for a hit, you feel the anticipation. There's a big cheer and a big roar for every big save that Artur Shilovs makes. It's a great crowd here at Abbotsford, and they've been treated to a lot of good hockey over the last number of months. Like, you got to look at this now, and over the last 41 games that they've played going back into the regular season, they only have regulation losses, and that continues even into tonight where they don't lose in regulation. It takes overtime to beat them. Charlotte's two wins in this series have both come in overtime. Like, this is not an easy out of a team, no matter what. So for Charlotte to have a chance at winning three in a row over Abbotsford on the run that they've been on, it would be pretty surprising, to say the least, given how this team has just been so good going back into the regular season when they had that 13-game win streak, and they've carried that and been the best team in the AHL, one of the best teams in the AHL, obviously, ever since.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the thing that they've been doing so well is regroup. I mean, they've had games where it hasn't gone their way. They've had some bad performances, but the bounce back's been there, and I think that's the point that Matt made on the phone call, that, you know, this club finds a way to bounce back, and, yeah. You know, Manny had some interesting things to say, Mount Malhotra, the head coach, after the game about the identity of the team and how they need to play to that a lot more consistently. And the thing about Manny, and he gets a lot of credit for this, is his ability to get the players wired, right, and get them fired up and get them motivated. So I would imagine he's going to have them raring and ready to go on Monday.
So the quote from Manny Malhotra: there were a lot of instances in the game where we didn't look like ourselves. At this time of year, you can't just dip your toe in. That from Manny Malhotra as he held court with the media. It's, you know, they did at times look like, I don't know, nervous, timid, what exactly the words are, but they just definitely weren't completely sharp for a lot of the game, and they still got it to overtime. They were the better team in overtime, but just couldn't find that winner. This text comes from Andrew in Langley. Was a tad bit concerned with Mancini's risk reward game tonight. He needs to play more simple hockey. That from Andrew in Langley on Victor Mancini.
Well, that's the live and die by the sword, right? You're going to have some moments, but I think he's done a lot of great as well. But let's bring in the play-by-play team for the post-game roundtable into the conversation. Brandon Assel and Landon Ferraro, a tough 4-3 overtime loss for the Abbey Canucks against the Charlotte Checkers. And it really felt in overtime like Abbey was going to get it done. I mean, we charted the chances, six legitimate scoring chances. You know, the game was on Max Sasson's stick. It goes off the post. And as luck would have it, and as it usually ends up going in hockey, if you don't get your opportunity, it usually is a lucky bounce that goes the other way.
Yeah, and I mean, Sasson, you mentioned he was right there. Like, there could be a totally different scene right now at Abbotsford Center, but that's playoff hockey. I mean, talk about a fluky goal against the grain when the Canucks were dominating. They had the last six shots up overtime up until Puljujarvi's goal. And at the end of the day, you got to give credit to Charlotte. They pulled up their socks. They needed an effort like that to get the job done. Went back and forth a little bit at the start of the game. And to see it end like that obviously is tough if you're an Abbotsford Canucks fan. But if you would have told Abbotsford they'd have a 3-2 lead after five games going back to Bojangles, they probably would have taken it. So I know, kind of tough pill to swallow right now, but you got a day to kind of get over it, I guess, and get ready to try to win it on the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously disappointing. You have this building absolutely rocking. Everyone's so excited because they can feel what's coming. Abbotsford played a great game. You know, in the second period, it completely opened up for both sides, and they were kind of trading chances, and that really worked in Charlotte's favor for sure. Abbotsford were able to get into the second intermission and kind of calm themselves back down and really lock it in. And when they play into their system and the way that Manny Malhotra has designed this team to play, they're a really tough team to get through, and they're able to, you know, have some really good chances. The Sasson, you know, coming off the bench, he's the man that changed.
Yeah.
And Carrick, who he was attacking in the offensive zone, had been out there for a while, and you could see it as soon as he picked up the puck. It was like, oh, he's got him. And then that shot just misses by half an inch. It's, you know, it's a half a more inch to the left. It's in the net, and we're, what, 20 minutes into cup celebration already. But just walking down past the room kind of quickly there and seeing the guys come out, like, you can obviously see the disappointment, but at the same time, like, it didn't look like they were defeated. It just looked like they were already determined not to let this happen again. And say, let this happen. It hits 2 feet,
yeah,
and goes in. Like, Puljujärvi could try that 50 more times, it's not even coming close. But that's playoff hockey, and all you can do is reset. And as much as you would have loved to win it at home, speaking from experience, we blew two chances at home. It's still pretty fun on the road.
Right.
So you just have to get right back into it and know that, you know, your team's good enough. You've shown that you're good enough, not just to be here, but to be the champion. Like, they've done the work. It's just about resetting and putting that effort back into game six.
I guess, for me, the biggest thing is, like, how do you reset after, you know, you are the team on the front foot there in overtime. You look like you're the most likely to get the goal, and then this complete fluke just ends the night and brings a lot of disappointment. How hard is it to hit that reset button?
I mean, it's tough. I'm not going to lie. It is a really hard thing, especially with, you know, a group of guys that, you know, for the most part, haven't had a chance to do this at pro hockey level yet. And it is a tough thing, but, you know, much like our team in 2013, I see it, especially being on the road this last bit in Charlotte with them. Like, I see how tight this group is, and that comes from Manny Malhotra and his coaching staff. Like, they're, like, the coaches are involved with the guys. You see the guys not, you know, it's not like it used to be where, you know, there's a group of five players and you see a coach walking up and you're like, okay, yeah, I got to figure out where's my exit here. Like, they're more than happy to be involved because they're all in it together. And once they flip that switch of disappointment, it doesn't matter anymore. You're up 3-2. They got the split down in Charlotte. Great. They got 2-3 at home. Like, yeah, you could say, you know, you needed the one more, but what more else can you ask for? So just flipping that switch in your head and realizing that our group has put in the work, we play for each other, we block shots, we hit, we do all the things we're supposed to. If we do that over a seven-game series, like we said coming into it, they should be fine. They know that they have the goods to get it done.
And this is a team that's battled a lot of adversity all year. Like, right now, they're without their number one center in Ratu, who's hurt. They're missing a very good veteran leader in John Stevens, who would be playing right now in a lot of high-leverage situations, a very good center. And they just continue to kind of roll along with the punches. And it's a group, obviously, led by Manny that does such a good job of keeping everyone's eye on the prize and not try to dwell on what's happened. They knew it was going to be a battle against Charlotte coming into this series. And it's still going to be a battle going back to Bojangles, where there's an extreme heat warning, I just learned, in eastern U.S. So the ice should be just fantastic there. It might turn into a street hockey game. But at the end
forecast
of the day,
forecast is 35 degrees Celsius for Monday. Fellas.
So that means that I'm going to have to break some FAA rules here and get that. Make sure I got that SPF 100 on the top of this dome.
Yeah. No, but at the end of the day, like, it sucks right now, I'm sure, for the team, but you sleep on it. The good news is they don't have a lot of time to dwell on it. They'll jump on the plane tomorrow. They'll do their thing. They'll play some cards, watch some movies, pass some time. At the end of the day, you get more time to spend with your teammates, right?
Yeah.
The season goes along. I know you're just trying to look at the brighter side compared to the other side and just kind of look at little things like that, and you get to go on the road one more time together.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like Landon mentioned, it doesn't matter when you win. It's about winning the championship, right? So if you do it on the road, hey, you have fun on the road. You get to fly back and celebrate. So I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun. But, you know, as far as what we've seen officiating-wise, and again, I don't think the officiating is the reason why, you know, Abbotsford lost the game here tonight. Because, again, in overtime, the game was on Abby's stick a handful of times. Could have easily won the game, right? But this was, like, one of the worst officiated games I've seen in recent years. And I've seen some bad ones in the NHL, too. But to me, it's an absolute joke that the officials here are so terrified by game states. So when it's 3-2, they didn't call anything on Charlotte. There was a number of infractions. They call a ticky-tack, interference call on Ty Mueller after letting, like, three go unanswered. The game gets tied at 3, and then they put their whistles away again. Like, completely put it away. And to the point where it's a detriment to the game. They're terrified of calling anything when it's 3-3. They're so terrified of even a close offside call that something that's clearly inside they're calling offside. I haven't seen officials be so terrified of the moment as I saw here tonight in Abbotsford.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a developmental league for the refs as well, Sat. You got to keep that in mind. A lot of these guys are officiating in the Calder Cup Finals for the first time. There's 10 officials that's been picked, and they all have slated starts. It doesn't matter how you do, refed in Game 2, Game 3. Like, they're already scheduled.
Yeah.
They're already on the schedule for all of them right now. So, obviously, there were some things that have been missed, not just tonight, but throughout this entire playoff run. We saw a ton of penalties called. They wouldn't stop blowing the whistle in games one and two, and now they've kind of gone the other way and kind of letting the two teams sort it out by themselves. So it's just one of those things that you can't really do anything about now. You got to battle through it. Charlotte is going to be thinking they've missed some calls on the Abbotsford side. But, yeah, you're right. Like, you look at Sasson in the overtime there, gets hauled down, no call, whereas the overtimes in games one and two were all settled on the power play. So maybe the officials are like, let's let these two teams just go at it and only call the egregious ones. So that's just kind of my take on it.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you look at the NHL level, the last game of the Stanley Cup Finals, like, there's zero penalties in that game.
Yeah,
I am assuming there was a couple penalties in that game. But it's one of those things where just because one team is in the driver's seat and playing really well doesn't mean that the other team should be able to drag them to their level.
Yeah.
You know, like, Charlotte carried the first 6 minutes of overtime and had some chances, and Abbotsford was really just trying to survive, and then they got their feet moving, they got moving, and started to really kind of pressure up on Charlotte. You know, the one that stands out to me more than anything was Carlson on the back check, picks a pocket right at the red line, turns around, and before you know it, he enters the zone. The puck gets poked off his stick, but then the guy literally just jumps on his back and rips him down. Like, that's a pretty easy call to make, and one that probably should be. But like Brandon said, it's a developmental league for them as well. And as much as the players are learning to play at these high stakes, the refs are learning how to ref and officiate a game at a high stake as well.
The one thing that I guess I really take umbrage with is when the missed call or the failure to make the call takes away a scoring chance or leads to a scoring chance. And Shelov's biggest save of the game came off of, Will Lockwood getting his stick up high on Baines and knocking him down in the offensive zone. Then there's an odd man rush going back the other way for Charlotte because Baines is knocked down to the ice and it's a 3-on-2. And if Shelov doesn't make that save, Charlotte gets a goal out of that. So those are moments that more than anything, I struggle to live with, because if it's creating a scoring chance for one team because you were allowed to make that illegal play, that's what frustrates me. But the other point that I think needs to be made here, the only way Charlotte is slowing down Linus Karlsson and Arshdeep Baines is hooking and hauling and you know, high sticking, doing whatever they can to slow those guys down, because they are all over them every time on the ice. Karlsson had 8 shots on net tonight. Baines 5. They scored all 3 goals for the Canucks tonight. They're just playing. They're unplayable right now.
And I generally like to get in some fun, spirited discussions, and I can't find a way to go against you on this, because I completely agree. It's a really tough situation when you get to this time of year. Like, you know, these guys have been going at it since the middle of September, as soon as NHL training camp started. We're now sitting here getting towards the end of June. Like, that's a really long time, and you get to this point, and to think that you had some opportunities where you maybe would have got a better chance if the play, their penalty wasn't made, and then it wasn't called, so you don't even get, you know, the retribution out of it to where you can try and make them pay on the power play. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part, you brought this up at the end on our broadcast, Brandon, was that these refs were in game two. Like, they weren't afraid to make calls there. They gave a power play to each team, and it ended up ending with Charlotte scoring early in that. And, you know, so, like, they've done it before, and yet they didn't want to make themselves part of the game tonight as it wound down through overtime.
Yeah, and remember, Tim Peel got kicked out of the NHL for his little thing that he did, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that stuff does happen. It's not a secret. Like, it's game 6. The stakes are a lot higher, so the whistles are going to get put away in all likelihood and let both teams decide it. At the end of the day, if you're Abbotsford, you just got to sleep it off and try to get back on the plane in good spirits and get yourself in the right frame of mind and go into a tough building in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm sure things will even heat up even more, and we'll see what the officials decide to do if they let the two teams play, just 4 power plays total tonight. But Back in Charlotte, North Carolina, like I mentioned, there's 20 power plays for both teams.
So we'll see if the Charlotte power play power magic comes back again on Monday. No, we mentioned Carlson and Baines a little bit. I actually like Jonathan Lekromäki's game tonight. I thought he had a number of chances. He got a couple of rebounds and created off looks. It just seems like he's getting more confident. I mean, you guys have been watching him closely. I know, Brandon, you've seen every playoff game. It looks like he's kind of coming into his own a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, and he looks calm and confident. That's what comes to mind when I'm watching him play these last three games. Like, in tight spots and high-pressure situations, like, he's got a D coming down on him. He's starting to, like, feel that pressure and let the team break out with ease, it looks like. And, like, Landon brought up on the broadcast, he had a chance. I wouldn't even call it a chance. He was just over the blue line, but with his shot, like, it caught cocking a little funny, and it bounced in front, and, like, he can really let it rip, as we all know. And any other guy, maybe that's just like an easy catchable shot for Kokkonen, but instead it led to a chance for Abbotsford. And just been impressed with the way he's starting in his own end, which is leading for chances the other way. The moment doesn't look too big for him, obviously not the biggest guy in the world, and he's able not only to hold his own out there, but looks really impressive with his puck touches.
And not because we definitely, well, me and Brandon definitely don't have time on this post game to get into Vancouver free agency, but, you know, like, they're likely to lose Brock Besser. That is a one-shot type scorer. And as Lekromäki is gaining confidence here, and not saying it's going to be next year right away or even towards the end of the year, he might still need more time to fill out, get stronger. But the play Brandon was talking about, like, he comes over the blue line, he has four players all around him, and he's able to find a way to just get that little bit of space, and he lets that quick snapshot go. Like, he is a one-shot threat. And as he, again, gets stronger, and he's able to, because he already sees the game so well, he knows how to, you know, use his body position. Sometimes he gets pushed off right now, but he makes the right play. He knows how to maneuver his body to protect and find the next play, or protect and then get to that shot. But, you know, again, like, that's a really good sign to see a young guy that has had some really real highs this year and some lows, as in getting healthy scratch five games straight. He's learning. He's figuring out the pro game over in North America. All of a sudden, the ice shrinks on him. He has to find a way to get that ice while there's not as much ice as he's grown up playing with. But he's starting to figure it out, and he's starting to become more of a factor. Even a game, you know, he gets two goals last game, but, you know, he doesn't get on the score sheet tonight, but he still found ways to make really good plays. He, again, knocks down a couple in the middle of the ice, taking away a chance against where it could have been an odd man rush. But his hand-eyes right there, he reads the play extremely well. He doesn't panic with the puck. Like, all those things are real positives.
So this is going back to Charlotte. We joked about the weather and all of that. You guys know how bad the ice was. And
heat wave now, like Brandon says, coming.
Charlotte did, you know, both games went to overtime, but Charlotte did own the shot clock quite a bit in those games, and they had the better run of play, let's put it that way, for a lot of it. How much of an advantage is that? Is the ice, you know, the choppy ice, an advantage for the Charlotte team? And does it take away from Abbotsford's speed game that we've seen really pop in games 3, 4, and 5?
I think it will a little bit, but Landon brought up a good point on our post-game show, is that Abbotsford has now been in that situation, in that arena twice, so they kind of know what to expect, where they were going in blind into game one of this series. So I think the skill might be taken out a little bit. The games have been pretty different in 1 and 2 now to Abbotsford the last three here. But at the end of the day, the Canucks did get a victory down there. It was kind of a greasy overtime win that Charlotte just got now, so it was a little payback there. But, it's going to be hot. Both teams got to play in it. Obviously, the Checkers are more used to it. It's their home rink. They got a great crowd. We'll probably be over 8,000 again, right on top of the action. It's an old barn. It gets really loud in there. But at the end of the day, like, I totally agree with Landon. Since they've been in that situation already, they can go in and be like, okay, this is what we can expect. Let's adapt to our new surroundings. Let's try and do what Charlotte did tonight and get a good start against them, and just parlay it from there. If they can get on the board early, like they did in game number 4 with Lekromäki, I think that would go a huge way for them, because playing with the lead is obviously ideal for them. They are tough to come back on, although they did have a lead for a short amount of time tonight.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Both teams got to play in tough situations. It's going to be very hot, and let's see what they come up with on Monday night.
And I think another good point here is, you know, like, Charlotte was on the brink of losing the series tonight.
Yeah.
You know that puts a lot of desperation in your body, and you feel it, and you use that to really help get your start going. And they had a great start tonight. It's hard to do that two in a row.
Yeah.
And now not only do you have a team in Abbotsford where, you know, I wouldn't say at all tonight that they were looking past this game. I think they played a really good game. But in saying that, going back to Charlotte, knowing that you've missed the opportunity to do it at home, like, it's going to be a pretty pissed off team that's ready to get moving. So the real question is Charlotte going to be able to keep their play in that desperation high level for another two games, because they got to do it for two more?
Yeah.
Or is the attitude of Abby losing tonight, having to travel back down there, all of those things, is that going to be what puts them over the top?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know what, we're going to find out real quick. Team's flying out right away. Game is on Monday. I know you gentlemen will be there to call the game. We'll chat with you guys coming up on Monday. And Landon, stay out of trouble, okay?
I got my SPF. I'll be good. Right. As long as I stay out of that sun. Yeah. I need to bring one of those massive golf sun hats.
You do that, you can. But hopefully that's the only danger you encounter.
Yeah, right. That'll be enough for me.
All right, great stuff. Thanks, gentlemen. Great stuff on the call. And, hey, we got at least one more, and that comes up on Monday.
Yeah, I turned off. It was great having you guys here. Thanks for having us on the post game.
Thanks for having us in your humble home here. The final game at the Abbotsford Center this season. That is Brandon Astle and Landon Ferraro doing a great job on the call as always. We'll chat with these gentlemen on Monday. Game 6, a massive one coming up. Hopefully the Abbey Canucks take home the championship. All right, we still have some time on the show. We are going to take more of your text messages. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. A lot of reaction on the text inbox, as always. Peter and Langley, so they're going back to the arena that has a stupid name, Bojangles. Just blow a kiss to the referees as well. Maybe they'll give you a call next time. That is Peter and Langley. So, yeah, going to Charlotte, but, hey, this is what it is. You know, these are all championship games. You can't be sulking about it. You have to be excited about playing one more game and having another chance to win the championship, and that comes up tomorrow.
This text, let's not overthink this. We had a bad bounce. Other than that, they were going to win. We got Peacock and North Van. I agree with Sat. Was there live worst officiating by far is another text. If the referee doesn't know what he's doing now, he'll never will. They know better than that. They're good referees normally at this level. And another texter who saw us earlier at the Plaza grabbing some food before the game. Game 6 or 7, Canucks win it?
Yeah, Canucks win it in Game 6. I say Game 6. I'll be optimistic.
Yeah, two more chances for this Abbey team. I don't think they pass up that opportunity. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I really wanted them to see him win it here, especially in the final home game of the season. The crowd here
in
was
overtime,
spectacular.
I mean, the roof would have really just, like, blown off this place.
It would have been a sight to behold. Yeah. Honestly, to be able to experience that, it would have been outstanding, but unfortunately, that did not come to pass. But, you know, big shout-out to the fans here at the Abbey Center. You know, a couple more games, potentially, you can listen to on radio and try to watch as well. I know, like Jen from The Drive said, some issues with the Flow Hockey app. Hopefully that's all good for the away game, because a lot of Canucks fans that were at the building are trying to watch that game. So hopefully that's good to go coming up on Monday. But I'll go and be optimistic and say Game 6 on this one. Let's take a phone call here as well. Let's go to Surrey where we have Manav on the line. Thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight after a tough loss in overtime for the Abbey Canucks?
Hey, boys. I'm 16, so hopefully I don't lose my composure. So,
come on, attaboy.
Get after it, man. Yeah. Let's hear it. What do you got?
Yeah, first caller, obviously. But honestly, if I look throughout this entire lineup, the way every single guy played, man, it's incredible. There's no passengers at all. And, of course, you know, I know there was a guy saying that, you know, they're going to lose in Game 7, going to ship off Seelovs, whatever. But honestly, that's just the market Vancouver is. I'm optimistic, obviously. I think Game 6, these guys win it all 100%. And then looking in the big club as well, you know, they don't have to go pay, like, Brock Besser, if I'm being honest, $8 million for a guy who literally got 50 points last season. It's not good enough. And then you look at the small club here, and Abby, you got Carlson, Lekkerimäki, like a number of guys who will put in that effort. And then, like, Lekkerimäki had a good time in the NHL. So, I honestly, I could see him, like, getting good, playing well there. And then putting up good points. Maybe, honestly, not a 70-point player, but maybe in that 50-point range where Besser was. Instead of paying Besser $8 million, you got Lekkerimäki who can do that, but for less the price, right? So, yeah, honestly, well, there's the composure going, but...
No,
yeah,
that was good, man. You're on a run, man. You're doing good, man. Finish strong.
And, like, that was a great game to watch, apart from the refereeing. Like, I'm a ref myself, but, yeah, I don't know. You want to just keep it consistent.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't consistent. I think, you know, Baines got knocked down, and they almost get a goal from that. You guys said that, right? And then it's the same couple of times the other way. So, like, that's the best thing. If I ever get caught in, like, it's a bad game or, a pretty big game for me, I just keep it consistent. And, you know, these guys didn't do that there tonight. So, yeah, thanks, guys. And the guy, there's a text saying to kick Reach off because he's, jinxing it. Yo, I love Reach, man. Please don't get that guy off, man.
All right, we won't. Like, hey,
appreciate
Manette,
you, man.
Listen, man, great phone call, man. You kept your composure, fought through it. Call back anytime, all right? That's some great stuff, man. I like hearing from youthful people that have some exuberance and aren't weighed down by decades of misery and failure. Like,
yes.
You see from Andrew who texted in, and that's like a reflex from the misery you have encountered from decades of being a Canucks fan, right? Like, I totally get it, but the Abbey Canucks, well, they haven't. The thing is, I know they're part of the Canucks organization. The name is the same, right? But this is still a new organization. Like, they shouldn't be burdened by the failures or the ghosts of the Canucks, Vancouver Canucks, going back to 1970, right? So try to avoid falling into that trap. But watching how Abbey played, and it was a back-and-forth game, especially in the third, like, I feel like Abbey's the better team.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Even when Charlotte, is able to take control at times and push back, and, they have a lot of veteran players, AHL guys who are very solid, of course, right? But I feel like Abbey's the better team. And when Abbey plays their best, they have the advantage.
Well, the best players in the series are on the Abbotsford Canucks, right? Whether it's Baines, Carlson, even on defense, you could say Mancini. Kudryavtsev has maybe been the best defenseman in the series. And, Kakinen was better than Shelov's tonight. I think that's one of the things that did happen in this game. Not that Shelov's really let in a bad goal. Obviously, the winner is a bit of a tough one. But Kakinen, especially there in overtime, really came up big with some big stops as the Canucks were pressing hard for the winner in OT. So, for the most part, though, they've had the better goalie. The defenseman in this series, Kudryavtsev, has stood out to me more than almost anybody. And then, of course, Baines and Carlson have easily been the two best forwards in this series. They've been the stars. And when you've got the star talent, that gives you the upper hand. So that's why the Abbey Canucks have had so much success here and do have a leg up in closing this out going back to Charlotte.
Yeah, let's hope to take care of business coming up on Monday. And, Manny spoke about, you read the quote earlier, about how he felt like the team got away from its identity at times. And we mentioned this before, but one thing you hear a lot when it comes to Manny is a master motivator. And anytime Abbotsford or, the Abbey Canucks have a game that he's not happy about, it's like he gets them right back on again. So I'm really curious to see how they bounce back coming up for Monday's game. And given how they've been able to do that and how Manny's been able to get through to this team, I think they're going to have a really good performance on Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Going back to Charlotte at the Bojangles, as the texters mentioned, the ice is going to be something that they'll have to overcome. Are you going to be able to play that same style? Are you going to break the puck out as well as you did here in Abbotsford? That was a problem for them in the first two games of this series. So it brings a different set of challenges, but challenges that they have, as Landon and Brandon mentioned, they have experience before, so maybe they have a better chance of overcoming them going back into these final two games, and hopefully just final game of the series being game six.
I know we've talked about this guy a lot, but, like, how good is Kirill Kudryavtsev?
Love him. Honestly, like, I'm so impressed every time. He's just, like, I'm starting to call him the silky smooth Russian out there because he's just he's smooth with his puck touches, and he reads the game so well. There was just a great play he made below the goal line. He reads the Charlotte player so well to see where the centering pass was coming from. Notice that there's a gap there. I got to close it. Gets his stick in the lane and is able to fight against the danger. He's just been rock solid in this series and all playoffs for the Abbotsford Canucks. Just a super impressive player for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, a mass. Like, I mean, his ability to fight off forecheckers, like for a guy, and again, like I don't want to even talk about him not being the biggest guy because he doesn't look small. You know, he's pretty wide, he's pretty thick, he's like 5'11". We're not talking about a 5'8" guy or anything, right? Like, I don't notice him.
But he's
being
listed at 200, so he's not
like he's sturdy.
Sturdy.
You know, he's a sturdy player, and you really see that along the boards in front of the net, and the poise and the composure he plays with at all times, very, very impressive. And you know, it's funny because you watch him, you watch Mancini, and Mancini is so much like at this level. So much more expressive with how he plays, right? Like you see him lugging the puck up ice. He's stick handling through players. He plays with, you know, he has the swashbuckling style, right? You know, kind of just all over the place. And like the texter mentioned earlier, it can lead to some high risk and high reward. And you take the good with the bad. Obviously, Kudryavtsev doesn't have the same type of highs, but the shift to shift consistency in which he plays with is really impressive.
It is. And again, I the Canucks right now have an embarrassment of riches within the depth chart on defense. So much so that you look at the top level, you've got on the left side alone, you've got Hughes, you've got Marcus Pettersson, Elias Pettersson, D. Petey, and you've got Kirill Kudryavtsev and Sawyer Mignot. I mean, it's pretty impressive what they've been able to build back there, and Kudryavtsev, I mean, he's already got his first NHL game under his belt, but he looks like a player projecting. I'd project to get more opportunities down the line.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Did you read this one from Matt the Flower Guy?
I have not, no.
You know, he says, disappointing not to get the job done tonight, but if you told me at the start of the series we'd be going back to Charlotte up 3-2, I would take that all day.
Well, I know that's one way of looking at it. It's hard when you hit the post in overtime. Yeah, you had victory ripped away by the jaws of defeat. So it's tough. But we've got KP Golfer Girl in the shoe swap. Back to Charlotte, tough loss. Abby's got this. So you know, a lot of confidence for some on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
We had this one a bit earlier, but I did want to get it in. Benji B says, Lekkomäki and Petey need to lock in and hire David Goggins this summer to unlock their full potential. That's a great shout. I mean, someone would be like, who's David Goggins?
Yeah.
If you watch The White Lotus, you might know. But,
yep.
But I mean, are they one offseason away? We had the caller who said Lekkomäki might be able to at least offset some of the production, not having Brock Besser.
Did he? I only remembered when he said Dan Ginxio's not a problem.
So. No, he's, you know, I mean, yeah. You would only remember that part. But, yeah, he made a good point, too, about Lekkomäki. And, you know, we've discussed this, too. It's so valuable for him to play these games, right? But he is going to have a shorter offseason now, too. So how much can he truly add in terms of strength and speed to take that leap next year? And I'm okay with him not taking that leap next year and does it the year after. It's the process when it comes to young players. But we're talking about guys like Elias Pettersson, EP40, has been working, grinding in the summer, it seems like. He came back to Vancouver as well, and he stayed in Vancouver longer, went to Michigan, met with Quinn Hughes and Demko and Adam Foote, and they kind of got together. And by all accounts, he's been working very hard in Sweden. Him, I'm keeping a really close eye on and saying this offseason is so important for Pettersson.
Like, oh, yeah.
Next year when he comes in. Lekkomäki, a lot of importance, but to me, I'm looking at that as more of a two-year. Like, to me, the window to see him blossom is a two-year window, not, like, 3 months from now.
I don't, Lekkomäki, his issues graduating to the NHL level more to do with his size, getting a little bit quicker, those kinds of things. But at the same time, there is still a lot to like about his game. He's got an NHL mind. He is really smart. Even in this series, though, we've seen Manny Malhotra shelter him a little bit, mostly offensive zone faceoffs. When his line has been out for defensive zone faceoffs, especially in the third period, Max Sassen would come out, or one of the more trusted defensive players would come out, and then Lekkomäki would switch on after the faceoff if the Canucks were able to break it out easily. So, you know, there's still some things that he has to do, and points that he has to get to before he really gets to being that 50-60 point NHL regular, but he definitely has it in his trajectory given just how much skill there is.
Okay, and also I'm an idiot, and Josh is correcting me. He says, David Goggins is a hardcore fitness influencer. You were thinking of Walter Goggins, who was the actor.
Yes.
All right. On that note.
I was like, who's David Goggins in White Lotus?
I'm
trying to think through my brain.
I'm like,
that's no, that's the other guy.
Yeah,
Walton.
Yeah, it's late for me on a Saturday. Mm. Well, at least not really. It's not that late. But
it was
anyways,
close.
It was same last name.
Yeah,
confused on the first name. All right, that brings us to the end of the show. I appreciate everybody listening, participating. It's a lot of fun as always. We were hoping for a victory here for the Abbotsford Canucks in the final game of the campaign here at the Abbey Center. Sold out. Crowd, incredible vibe. Unfortunately, the job was not done this evening.
I think if I had hair like Walton Goggins, I'd probably just shave it.
You think you would?
Yeah.
But it seems like he's getting a lot of attention.
I mean,
the
hairline, like his forehead is like,
no, I know,
goes like to the midpoint of his skull. It's crazy.
Pulls it off though. People think it's attractive.
It seems like it's working for him. I will say. I mean,
I guess it's a unique look. You know.
Hey, whatever works, I suppose, right?
I mean, hey, you know, Hulk Hogan lived with the skullet for a long time, and he was, like, one of the coolest guys ever.
Was he actually, though?
For a time.
We'll leave it at that. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening and participating with the show. It's a pleasure, as always. It's Satyar Shah, Dan Riccio. We'll be back on Monday, and we'll figure out how the broadcast goes, but we'll be back on air. I believe it's 3 p.m. Game is coming up at 4.
Yep.
We'll find out exactly how that all goes. You'll find out over the next, day or so.
Canucks Central at 3, puck drop at 4 is the expectation at this point.
That's what we are expecting. Special shout to Josh Elliott Wolf, our producer, on location at the Abbey Center, and Fast Eddie Gregory back at Mission Control in Vancouver. This has been the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.